Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 135. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brett Yanosky.
I'm Devin Dree.
And I'm Charlie Smith.
Today on The Inner Gamer, we play a couple of games. Charlie gives us his review of Fortnite, a little bit of rhyme.
Woo-hoo.
Brett plays Tacoma. Then we move right on to our gaming news where we have some interesting news from Valve. They've made a game. Here's a spoiler. It's not Half-Life 3. We look at Call of Duty and its single player. Gearbox has a new 1v1 game they've released, and Overwatch is now releasing a deathmatch.
1v1 game they are releasing.
Free for all.
Later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving into the discussion topic will be about microtransactions and loot boxes. Are they good? Are they bad? What do we love? What do we hate? And I'm pretty sure me and you hate those a lot.
Not our favorite topic.
Not our favorite.
Not our favorite.
Not our favorite.
No,
not our
favorite. No.
But that'll be it. Then we'll talk about some games that are coming out next weekend. That with Brett. Cue the music.
Cue it.
Cue the music. Brett, cue it.
Welcome to the Inner Gamer.
It is August 15th, 2017. Welcome back to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you guys like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review or tell a friend. Speaking of reviews, I have one I want to read.
What?
It is.
We got
exciting.
A review.
We have a review, guys.
A review?
We have a
from
review.
From a fan?
And it wasn't a single star. It was higher than that, which is
how many
awesome.
Stars would
how
it
many
be?
How many stars? Multiple stars is
take
good.
A guess. Take a guess what it was.
2 stars.
I'm going to say 40 stars.
Oh man, if only that was possible. That'd be so
oh,
cool.
Oh, that's right. It can only go to 5.
It can only go to five. But hey, it was 5-star review.
What?
And it comes from Mr. Solitaire 2017. And he gave us a shout out. I won't read it. You can go read it on iTunes. But thank you, Mr. Solitaire 27, not 2017.
Thanks, bud.
Mr. Solitaire 27.
Thank you very, very much.
He's
that
awesome.
Is greatly appreciated.
Is that the only one review?
No, we have 13 reviews.
13 reviews? Dang, that would have been fitting because Mr. Solitaire, it's like just one review. Solitary review.
If only. Go delete the others. I'm
go,
just kidding.
Go delete them all. Go delete them all. Anyway, also, in addition to that, we have on August 18th, make sure if you guys are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you come out to Community Brewery. We have video games for the Switch. We have ARMS. We have Mario Kart. We have probably Overcooked. There will be a brand new release beer called a Wit and Wild. It's a wit beer aged in oak barrels with Brettomyces,
which makes
it smell nice and cool and stuff. Yeah. And they're going to have food. So there's
all
a lot
I heard
of stuff
was
happening.
Shitty beer.
No, actually, I think you probably won't like this one. But there's other beers that you might like. So they might have a funnel cake ale, which is like a sweet, sweet.
Is it bourbon?
Beer. No.
Then I don't give a shit.
Well. Okay, well, come play video games, okay? Come play video
I'm
games.
I'm not even excited for our own event just because there's no whiskey. Anyways. Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about some video games. Charlie, you played a game. Tell us about it.
Oh, man. I've been playing this game called Fortnite.
Oh, the beta.
Oh, yeah. The closed beta. Fortnite, you know, it's made by Epic Games, the cats who brought us the Unreal Engine, as well as the Gears of War series.
Yeah.
Very successful company.
So this is like the first title they've come out with in a while.
Yes, they announced it. I'm not 100% on the dates, so I won't be just throwing out numbers. But they announced it a few years ago, and they kept coming out with like, oh, look at this, everybody. Like, they announced it in like 2012, and they're just now releasing it. And so there's been a lot of hype, and there's been some gameplay clips that we've seen over the years where it's like, oh, this looks good, and you know, everything. You know, it's like it's a $40 game for the standard edition, or you can buy a $60 game with more stuff. Basically, there's also the option to buy a $90 version of the game, which comes with a code that you can give to a friend. It
so
also has
you're
more
buying
stuff.
Two.
Right, you're buying two. Or okay. Ready for this? You ready for this? $150 version for 3 copies, 2 of which you can give away. So
that's an interesting.
That's a very weird way
thing.
To market your game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
if
like,
you
hey,
really
buy this and split. So wait,
buy
so
this 3 times and give
one
it away.
Game yeah, is
give
it how to your much?
One game is about $40.
Okay.
But the 150 is you're also getting
all the bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles.
Plus two extra copies.
Yeah, and you're getting like two mythic characters, which is like the highest tier.
But you know, just
like,
for you. The other two copies don't get it.
Just for me. It also gives you some XP boosts that whenever you activate your XP boost that shares with the entire group, or if you can give away other XP boosts. It's kind of interesting. But
okay.
But you know, as a game, Fortnite basically plays like you run around collecting resources and then you build walls or floors to defend certain objectives.
So a big old tower defense game.
Oh yeah, except it's a sandbox style.
Interesting.
Yeah. The whole concept is really great. You know, there's some really fun weapons. Like I recently unlocked a shotgun sniper.
What?
It's kind of cool.
How does that work? Does it like switch like between?
Oh no, it's basically a shotgun with really long range and a very tight spread.
Really?
Yeah.
So it has the punch of a shotgun, mm-hmm. but the range of a sniper rifle.
Right. There's not too much knockback, but the headshots, they go boom. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, I would definitely say the strengths of this game is, you know, the defense is you build these fortifications. You know, you've got walls, floors, which also act as ceilings, stairways, and pyramids. And you can basically edit each of these formations to be whatever you want. Like you can take a wall, it's got 9 squares, and you punch out the 3 bottom ones and the one in the middle, and it becomes an archway.
Okay.
Interesting.
If you cut out the top, like the top 3 on the right, you can have like a half wall that's at an angle. With stairs, it's got this nifty little editing thing where there's like 6 blocks and 2 tiny blocks in the middle. And you can like kind of click on one block and then move it around. You can make stairs that go up and then turn right or left and then turn up or however you want. It's actually pretty cool. We've got this zany defense mechanism thing where we make basic walls around the objective, and then we take these pyramids and we turn them outwards. So that they're basically, like, I guess, you've seen those trucks, those semi-trucks with the big wedge on the front?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but backwards.
Interesting.
And then we put tiny little half floors, which create little tiny walls, and then the zombies have to go through that.
Chest-high walls.
Yeah. You just reinforce and reinforce, and you build traps, and you build weapons, and the gameplay is actually pretty enjoyable when you're not just hacking away at stuff to get resources, which does get old.
So when you're playing this game, you spend all this time, you have all these different varieties of ways that you can build structures and things like that.
Right.
When you jump into a game, how long do you typically play there? Is this like,
so
what's your timeline?
So it can vary depending on who you're playing with. If you're playing with a group of like-minded friends, you can say, okay, everybody, let's, you know, spread out across the map, gather some resources, and then once we've pretty much, you know, destroyed this place and gotten enough resources, we'll start doing the objective. And there's little tiny mini games in between, like spots on the map. You could also be paired up with a complete rando that doesn't communicate and just kind of does his own thing. Like you can literally get into the game, find the objective, and start it. Bam. No fortifications, no defense, no fucking around. Like it's just immediately like what is this guy doing? What is this? Hey, no. Oh,
he just did that.
Oh God. And the game is kind of nice because get this. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Once someone starts the objective, it has a 5-second timer for you to run in and say, no, we're not ready. But that's 5 seconds. You could be all across the map.
Seriously. You could be anywhere hacking at resource stuff and be like, oh shit, 5 seconds. Well, even, I guess this is happening.
Even if you're right fucking there, it's 5 seconds. So it's like, oh, this guy didn't put a door around this wall that he built, so I can't get in. I'm going to have to craft a door, which is just made by blurring out or deleting the, like, I guess the bottom middle tile and the middle tile, and then that creates a door.
Right.
And it's frustrating sometimes. Like, there's this mini game. I had this quest to do 3 blue glow siphons. Blue glow is like this little blue floaty thing that you collect that powers objects. Like there's little stations off in the world that give you health or a speed boost, or even the main objectives require you to deposit blue glow in order to begin the defense, but not, you don't start the defense. It sounds a little confusing, but it makes sense. that's the entire game, by the way. But you got to defend this blue glow siphon for 3 rounds. In between each round, you can stop at any time and collect what blue glow has been pooled up, but you don't get to the 3rd round. So my mission was to complete 3 blue glow siphons at in a 23 plus power zone level at level 3. For yeah, I know. And so we would get to the blue glow siphon and we'd defend it and it would be over and it'd be like, okay, you have like deposit more blue glow to start the next round. But then the rando just walked in and stopped everything and just took what blue glow was in there at the time. So it was like, well, the entire reason I'm fucking playing right now is gone. It's gone.
So I'm still trying to figure out, like, you spend all this time building these structures and all these things. Like, how long does that last? Is this like a persistent world that carries from like game to game you play with these friends? Or is it once you stop playing, like say we're going to do a 2-hour session.
Right.
You build all this stuff. The next time you come back, there's nothing. Well, you start from zero.
There are storm defense missions, which is where basically you enter this world and where you choose your missions from. There's basically a home base, the storm defense base, that you do build things and you come back periodically and your base stays. But the other missions, no. You go in and it could last anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour to 2 hours if you wanted to. And once everything you build, everything you spend all of your resources and time on, once you end the mission, all of that's gone.
Wow.
But the storm defense missions, those do stay, and you tackle about 10 rounds of that periodically as you're playing the game.
Okay. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, so you are working, you have a video coming out soon that's going to go in.
Really dissect this game.
Really dissect this game a lot.
To an extent, yeah. I, from what I could in, the time frame that we decided to stick with, there's so much to talk about this game, because one of the biggest weaknesses of this game is in between the missions, you're looking at this menu system that is just, it's ridiculous. There's like 4 skill trees. Each skill tree is more complicated than the last. It's the same with this research tree. The research tree like builds up resources while you're playing the game or not playing the game. And there's a max limit to how much you can collect. So let's say, you know, you play a little bit in the morning and you collect your resources. It's full up and you've got 2,000 resources out of 5,000. And that this is research tier number 2, by the way. And then you go to work for the day and then you come back and it's full up again. But let's say you don't come back. It's not going to keep collecting resources because you didn't sign on. It just basically says, oh, well, I'm at my limit and I'm not going to go anywhere. So basically there's no way to get past time, I guess. Like, nobody can, like, there's people that have definitely gotten to a certain point where they're better than everybody else because they spend like time out of their day to be like, oh, I need to sign in and collect my resource points. Man. Like, that's like every 9 hours or so you need to do it or it just stops collecting.
This sounds like a mobile game that you pay for.
See, what they need to do is, like, my brother was showing me on his phone that he plays World of Warcraft and he can collect stuff for his dailies on his phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Some games do that. Like Destiny had a mobile companion.
Yeah.
I think if Fortnite had a mobile companion, you could be like, I'm on vacation. I'm going to take out my phone and I'm going to collect my resources so that I can come back and there's going to be like resources. Man. And I can spend the skill points or anything. And I mean, it's not even just the resources or the research skill tree and the skill tree itself. There's like a collection book. Like, first off, you get loot from these loot llamas. It's kind of like battle packs.
Loot llamas.
Mm-hmm. Little pinatas.
That's a good name.
It was kind of funny at first, you know, because they talk and they say funny things. And before you open them, you can actually tickle them.
Wait, they say funny things and then you bash them a pinata?
Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, I can't wait to be smashed today. And then you smash the fuck out
so
of them.
That's so dirty.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. Did I mention you can tickle them? But basically, yeah, these loot llamas, like the you get mini llamas for just completing objectives.
Yeah.
You know, there's also like tons of quests that you can do to get you these llamas. But most of the time, the mini llamas just carry really worthless crap that you end up scrapping for very small amounts of XP. And sometimes you get good stuff like that shotgun sniper. That was a win.
That was
good. Yeah.
Okay.
But the loot is in the form of cards. And these cards are used to basically, like your hero cards are your playable characters. and you slot them in your playable character slot. And also in that playable character slot, there's like two support characters that you can put there for support bonuses or not. I don't really know how to get tactical bonuses yet.
Man,
and then there's three defender slots
game.
Also in that. Yeah, I'm trying.
This sounds like a tower defense board game with extremely difficult rules.
Yeah. It sounds like I'm learning how to play Dungeons and Dragons all over again or something with all these technicalities.
Lord knows he hasn't learned that yet.
I know.
Well,
I can't even play this.
But this game is honestly, a lot of it makes sense, but it just takes too long for you to like wrap your mind around all of this shit that they throw at you all at once. Like, mm-hmm. It's just so much instantly.
Wow.
Right.
Like, it's information overload. And a lot of it...
Is there a tutorial or anything that
explains?
Oh, yeah,
there's a tutorial.
Okay.
Occasionally, whenever you're introduced to a new aspect, it'll be like, this is your collection book. Put cards here that you don't want to use and you'll be able to level it up.
And that was what I was going to say. It's like, just because there's a tutorial doesn't mean that it's a quality tutorial where it will take you through what it is you do.
Didn't you write an article about that? Tutorials and stuff? Yeah.
I did. Go back to theinnergamer.net/read and check it out.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's crazy. Okay.
So dig, ditch, delay.
Yes.
Ooh, definitely delay. I'm not a ditch, because this game will be free to play in 2018, which is kind of a shitty thing, because like I paid $90 for this fucking game. Like, I got a copy for a friend who never fucking plays it. Jeff.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff. And I mean, honestly, I was like, I started playing the game for the first few days. I was really into it. It was a lot of fun.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I was like, you know what? I'll get all of this stuff. I'll understand it eventually.
No.
And 2-3 weeks later, I'm still just like, what the fuck is this? You know what I mean? But definitely delay. Maybe in a few months, they'll have polished it up to where it's not so confusing. And it's focused more on the gameplay itself and not the micromanaging. Because that's what I feel right now, is I'm just micromanaging my little ass off.
Cool. Awesome. Well, stay tuned next week. We will be releasing a video with Charlie talking in more depth about this.
Hey.
And there's video accompanying it as well, which is awesome. So you can see all of the stuff that he just talked about in visual form. So that should be pretty exciting.
Most
of it. I played a game that came out that I've been really, really excited for a long time. This game is called Tacoma.
You've been talking about this one for a while.
I have. And Tacoma is the follow-up to the very, very popular game that came out in 2013 called Gone Home by the Fulbright Company.
Mm.
And this is Steve Gaynor's baby, essentially. And this is his next big title. And it's Tacoma, and it's set in space. And you play a character who is a subcontractor working for a company who is assigned to go investigate, like, get this AI from this spaceship.
Oh boy.
And so you go there and your job is essentially to figure out what happened. So that's the premise behind it. I don't want to give too much away other than talk about some of the interesting gameplay mechanics, because you know there's story loops and stuff that you know you want to play it to experience it. But it's a short game. I finished in about 2.5-3 hours. Wasn't very long, considering the fact that it's been in development for like almost 4 years, I feel like. They've been working on this game for a long time.
How much did you pay for the game?
$20.
$20 for 2-3 hours of gameplay.
Yeah. So, and there's some, you know, sometimes like $20 for a 2-3 hour experience is like really valuable.
Sure.
Like Edith Finch was totally worth $20.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So worth it.
I've started that.
This one, I'm not exactly sure it's worth the $20.
Okay.
I think it needs to be a little bit cheaper to get what you get out of it. But it's still not to say it's not a good game, because something that I really like about this is the presentation of this game is really cool. They have this like AR system that they center the whole entire game around, where you essentially put on these little things on the side of your head and you're in this augmented reality world. So when you go and interact with wall panels or whatever, it pops up in your visual space, kind of like you had Google Glass or whatever, or like in Horizon Zero Dawn, where Aloy has her little thing that she sticks on. You can see things in your world. And that's the whole gameplay mechanic throughout the entire experience. So you're walking through a spaceship that's empty, but you're watching these recordings of what happened leading up to the point where you are now.
Now, I hear empty spaceship. Is it creepy?
No.
No?
It's not at all. Yeah. So Gone Home was set up to be creepy, but it wasn't ever a creepy story. That was the premise behind it, though.
There was... definitely the idea that there was supposed to be an unsettling atmosphere for sure. Right. And yeah, the main story there was not creepy or unsettling, but definitely very insightful.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think that atmosphere just enhanced that even more so.
Yeah. Yeah, so with this one, I kind of expected that idea, but it really wasn't, because when you're watching these recordings, the characters that they're visualizing are colorful, very bright and colorful. So that takes away from the creepy aspect in my mind almost through and through. It's basically you gain an emotional attachment to these characters as you progress through the game. That's the general premise behind it. And they have some really unique characters. Everybody's different. There's different races. There's different, you know, sexual orientations. There's different everything in here, and they all have a unique perspective that you become connected with in some form or fashion. So that makes it really intriguing to play through. But nice. In my mind, the negatives to this game are that with Gone Home, when you jump into it, it was a very personal story in that, one, you're entering a house, you're a kid coming back from school and your home's empty, and it's a house, it's very familiar, it's set in 1994, it's when people like us were growing up, so there's everything there is familiar. In this game, you're up in space, so instantly you remove that familiarity, because none of us have ever been up in space before.
Speak for yourself.
Well, maybe
I have not been.
You might have, you know what, that's a possibility.
Are you an alien?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just kidding.
I'm in space.
But so that takes away some of the personal connection to it. And then the fact that the characters aren't actually there. So when you see them around in your world, there you don't have as much of a connection. And the ironic thing is, Gone Home, you also didn't have, they weren't there either. But it was all done through reading pamphlets and letters and things like that, which this is done in the same fashion. So you have a little bit of these recordings. You have some things that you read through the world. Those things all exist here. But I think just the being in a different place that you're not familiar with, and you don't have as much relationship to this experience that these characters have, it takes me away from it a little bit. And that was the biggest negative I had, is that this game is very much akin to Gone Home, but it doesn't have that personal attachment that I had with Gone Home. So for me, it's a delay. I think it's really worth playing. It's a really solid game through and through. I mean, no issues whatsoever playing the game. It just, you know, lacked that connection that I wanted. And the other thing that was really odd about it was, it's a very linear experience. It's like you just follow directions.
100% on rails.
100% on rails. We're Gone Home, you had some exploration with it. Like, you go in this room and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go back to this room. And then, oh, this led me to open up this. With this, it's very siloed. Because, well, you'll see it when you play the game, but it's a much more siloed experience, partially because you're on a spaceship. But
I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? So not as excited as I thought I would be about this game, but still, I think, worth playing. But I would wait till later on when you can get it on a deal or something like that and pick it up, because I think for $20, it's something that needs to be waited on.
So delay.
Delay, yeah. Okay. So, nice. Yeah, that's Tacoma, guys. Check it out. It's very exciting.
Tacoma.
So that's all we got for games, I guess.
Yeah.
We are going to take a break.
More Splatoon.
Yeah.
This guy has splatted people. Splatoon 2 yesterday. So.
Got disconnected.
Did you still want me to talk about Rhyme?
Oh, we can't talk about that. Let's talk about that briefly. Yeah, just throw in Rhyme real quick.
Yeah, you know, I got Rhyme, and I expected it to be this huge cinematic story, which it was, but it had... It's basically like, it's a beautiful world. It tells a story with, you know, murals on the walls, and the whole time you're chasing this hooded red figure, and you're not really sure what's going on. Like, you're just this little kid that yells at things, and there's like some sort of magic that this kid can harness. Like, he yells at these little statues and these blue orbs come out and they activate a door, and it's definitely not what I expected it to be, because the whole time you are just kind of running around yelling at things, figuring out these puzzles, which aren't extremely challenging, but it is a beautiful game at that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you haven't gotten it yet, still definitely a delay.
Okay.
But it's just another one of those games that might have been too much for $20.
Do you guys remember Deadlight? indie game that came out back in 2012. It was a side scroller.
Vaguely, yeah.
They made this game. So it was Tequila Works that put this together, and they it was published by Graybox and Grey Matter Studios, which are working on Dreadnought as well. They published that game. So we talked about, we were huge fans of Dreadnought, but it's not made by Dreadnought. It's made by Tequila Works. But I thought that was interesting because Deadlight got huge commendation for being a really cool, I think
Deadlight was on the XBLA, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's where I remember it from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this game, it came out and like people were super pumped about it leading up to it. And then it just seemed like there wasn't that hook that kept you moving forward.
It was a journey of discovery where it was just kind of like,
what am I discovering?
That's cool. Yeah. Oh, I'm running from a bird. And like, there's no really fear of danger or failure. Because if you happen to fall off of a precipice or get picked up by this stupid fucking bird, I hated that bird. Like, it just kind of takes you back to like 5 seconds before.
Man.
So it's like, where's the challenge? You know?
So it's interesting. We have three just games that are completely different that we talked about today. And all of them are kind of,
meh.
Yeah. It's weird. It's kind of sad. But that's okay because we have some exciting games coming up in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about our gaming news. Stay tuned.
Break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Welcome back. It's time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. And
Yes.
First up, we have Valve. Guys, you remember Valve?
Yeah, you know, I recall a company named Valve. They've made some great games. And I hear tell that they're going to make Half-Life 3 finally.
Wait, what? This
is news to me.
No. Oh, sorry. No, I was mistaken. They're not making Half-Life 3. They're making a fucking card game.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So Valve has come out and announced their first game in forever. It is called Artifact, and it is a Dota card game to release in 2018.
Who asked for this?
I mean,
who asked for
apparently
this?
Apparently the community did.
No, they did not.
I mean, there's Hearthstone.
No.
Son of a bitch.
Obviously, Hearthstone's awesome, and let's just make a card game. I don't know.
I mean, Hearthstone just came out with the expansion pack. Like, are they trying to keep up? Because Hearthstone's
established. I mean, Dota 2 is the most played game on Steam. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is second. So, I mean, if it were me, I would make a PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds card game, but that's just me.
Again, I'm going to reiterate this question. Who asked for this? Who was sitting at home and thinking, you know what Dota really needs?
Cards.
A card game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like so it's interesting to me that Valve has been obviously very huge in Steam and its development, but they haven't been in the game space for a long time. We've had the last thing we had was Dota updates and Team Fortress 2 updates, I guess. And
more hats.
More stuff. But they haven't had an actual game launch in a long time. So this to me is very curious. But I don't know. We'll see.
This is perplexing to me because literally, and I know we've joked about it, but I just don't understand this. Like, as a legit argument, I do not understand this company pursuing this IP. Like, I don't get it.
I'll tell you what it is. Dota, you play the card game. You know how there's like one joker or two jokers in a deck when you like buy a deck at the store?
Sure.
And this, there is one card in this deck. If you play the game long enough, that will unleash the game code for the first round of Half-Life 3. So you have to play this game to find the artifact, which is Half-Life 3, inside the Dota card game.
Is this for real?
You can almost see the tinfoil hat manifesting on his head.
Let me just crunch it up real
quick. Yeah, okay.
I'm a gullible person. You're fucking with me, right?
You're fucking with me, right, dude?
That'd be pretty fitting, though. Imagine if the artifact was Half-Life 3. Man, that'd be some shit. Anyway, but yeah, Valve is making a Dota card game. Check it out. 2018. The trailer is interesting, but we don't really care that much.
I don't care.
Fake news.
Oh, my God. That was perfect.
That was perfect, actually. I love that.
Fake news.
Anyway.
It's not real.
So I want to talk about Call of Duty World War II for a second. Game Informer just had their cover story announcement, and a lot of stuff dropped on Call of Duty World War II.
Oh.
And those of you that have been listening know that I'm a very excited person about this game. I haven't been excited about Call of Duty in a while.
Yeah,
I'm looking really forward to this. Yeah.
It's got a lot of legs. And this reveal that they had in the Game Informer issue talked about a lot of stuff from the single-player campaign. One of the missions that you play is called the Wolf's Den. And you will have players infiltrating a German base wearing Nazi disguises. So you have to mask yourself as a Nazi as you infiltrate a Nazi base.
Oh, man.
And you interact with German soldiers and say and do the right things to not arouse suspicion.
Hola, mein Comrade.
Hola, my God. Do you remember everyone remembers this, the mission Ghillie Suit?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Do you remember how stressful that was?
It reminds me, this is like it.
I feel like I'm like... This is great.
Yeah. No, it's.
Are we going to see the next
cool.
Soap McTavish?
Man, I feel like I'm really eating my words, because when I first heard about Call of Duty coming out with this, you know, again with a World War II, I was like, oh my God, here we go again.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
Another Call of Duty, another World War II.
Right.
Here we go.
I bet there's going to be jump jets and shit.
Yeah. And here I am. Like, I got to admit, I am very pleased with what we've seen so far.
Yeah, no, it's been super exciting, and they went further into describe like how the campaign is going to play out, and the first mission is going to be a recreation of the D-Day invasion in Normandy, and according to Game Informer, it feels like Saving Private Ryan.
Oh shit, that's so going to be heavy.
Like, it's going to be dark. It's going to be gritty. It's going to be real. I mean, they're not holding back on this. This is going to be like the feels of war.
Okay.
And, brutal and intimate melee encounter with an enemy soldier is one of the things that they described.
Oh, okay.
Other missions include Operation Cobra, the Allied campaign into France, Train, where you work along British forces to stop a German train, and Hurtgen Forest.
There's a train mission?
Yes.
I'm in.
Yes.
You got me there.
Dude, train missions.
Yes. So there's a lot of good stuff coming out of this. And they also let Game Informer play 30% of the zombies mode.
Oh, boy.
Which I bet was just amazing.
Apparently, you start up like up in top on the ground floor, and you start going deeper and deeper into what they call the Nazi version of hell, essentially. So it just gets darker and darker.
Fucking doom.
That there's some crazy stuff that they've described. I mean, this is through and through a horror experience. There's none of this kitschy, weird,
none of like the cartoon or like the pulp fiction style or pulp comic style.
You need to go over here to find the lever, and then you need to attach the lever to the headsman's block.
Right.
My only issue with the Call of Duty zombies in the past has been that it just gets like there's so much to do, and it's fun and it's exciting. Like once you actually get these objects together and you're doing the actual mission for the zombies, like it's not just shooting zombies anymore. There's actually like stuff you can do, but it just gets too hard.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't mean to sound like a little baby bitch.
No, the enemy power creep is real there. Like there's a difficulty spike for sure after a certain amount of rounds. You're kind of like, you can go rounds 1 through 10 and you're like, all right,
this is good.
Getting Billy Badass over here.
This is good.
Round 12 comes, you're like, I'm out of ammo. I am unable to refortify any of the entrances. Mm-hmm. I think this is it. I think I'm just going to put my head between my legs and kiss my ass goodbye.
And then in these new ones, like they start throwing all these fucking crazy ass enemies at you.
Yeah.
Like you'll just be playing and then there's like a fucking like beholder looking enemy and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. It's real.
It's
real.
I all I'm saying is, even though again I sound like a little baby bitch, maybe an easy mode would be nice. Just to see what you can, because imagine if you didn't have to go online and look at a guide for what you really need to do. Imagine if you could easily kill the zombies while enjoying the story.
Right.
You know?
Like, I mean,
there's so much that I haven't seen of the zombies because it just gets too stupidly hard.
Apparently this one's supposed to get pretty hard. Well, the deeper you get, the harder it gets. But
looks like I'll be only playing 30% too.
I think so.
Zing!
Oh, that's good. But so Call of Duty is coming out in November, and it's looking to be a pretty exciting game. I can't wait till they reveal more. And I've already, like I said, I played multiplayer, and it's awesome. So if that little bit that I played is any example of what the rest of the game is going to be like, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one.
Cool.
So Anyway,
next.
Gearbox, they're working on Borderlands 3, supposedly, but they're also working on something else.
I stopped listening after you said Borderlands 3.
I know. It's apparently in progress. There was a tech demo thing that came out, and they showed what it looks like, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a new game that Gearbox has revealed called...
It's not a card game, is it?
Project 1v1. No, it's not.
Okay. Thank God.
It is different. It's a shooter that Gearbox says, quote, combines the action of fast-paced 1v1 first-person combat with the metagames... Oh, crap. It's a card game. Dang it. I'm sorry. So, yeah, it's the excitement of 1v1 multiplayer action mixed with the metagame strategy of a collectible card game. I'm sorry.
Don't understand.
I wasn't prepared
why
for that.
We have this suddenly popping up everywhere. Can we just let card games be card games?
Oh boy. Like that was the issue.
It's got to be digital,
like
man.
They try to make a game, like, but then they're like, "Here, have some cards.
No,
do stuff with cards."
No, look.
It's like, "Fuck you."
But there's Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon. There is a plethora of card games out there that you can just play. Stop.
But wouldn't you rather play a digital version of Yu-Gi-Oh?
No. I don't want to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Period.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about those card games, which is why I don't play them.
Maybe
that's why I play video games.
Maybe Hearthstone or Gwent.
Gwent, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
And Triple Triad from Final Fantasy VIII. But those are literally the only two exceptions to the rule.
So, wait, why is Gwent okay? It's a card game.
Fucking Gwent, dog.
Because Gwent was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. I never played it, so I don't
know. Butcher of Blaviken loves him some Gwent.
a lot of card game news this week, guys. Just a lot of card game news. I just can't wait till they announce, like,
I see
you know,
an article in my future.
Destiny card games or something like that, you know?
The rant is strong.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dark Souls, the card game. It's coming.
There's a Dark Souls board game, and I'll play that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's okay. Yeah, so that's all we have for that one.
Son
I'm just going to skip onward. So,
skip onward.
This is going to be a lot of just like news. It's kind of exciting, but then I'm just going to.
And
drop
also,
a bomb.
You're going to. Yeah, hey, we got this great thing that they're coming out, and they're going to make a card game version of it.
So,
I'd tear my hair out if I had any.
Blizzard makes a game called Overwatch. It's the
wildly
beloved franchise that everybody loves. And it's a game about teamwork. You know, you want to get together with your players. You have your team of, you know, different varieties of players.
You got your six players. And you
fight
also,
each other.
Everybody learns their combos. Like, you've got a perfect combo of a Zenyatta and a Roadhog. And the Roadhog cooks the guy. The Zenyatta throws his Orb of Discord. He pulls him in, shoots him in the face for all that damage. Man.
Bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, boom.
Like a Reinhardt and a Bastion, too. I always like to create what I call the Deathly Hollows, which is the Reinhardt, the Bastion, and then a Mercy buffing the Bastion.
Oh man,
the Deathly Hollows.
Ooh,
and you got the cloak,
it's dirty,
and the wand,
it's
and
dirty.
The invisibility cloak.
Oh yeah,
it's all there, baby.
It's dirty, dirty.
I need to copyright that.
Wow,
I need to copyright that.
That's dirty.
We need
so
to play again.
The game about you know teamwork and stuff.
Yeah,
they are bringing out to their arcade mode, which is where they test out things you know that they wouldn't normally put in the rotation.
Yeah,
they're doing a deathmatch free for all game mode that's going to come to that where you can fight each other to death in free for all combat.
I can't wait for the scramble for Doomfist.
Eight players.
Everybody's going to want
eight
off.
Players free
eight
for all.
Players.
That's pretty cool.
Eight men enter, one man leaves.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
All right. That's actually pretty cool. I mean,
yeah.
I can see some struggles because obviously there's going to be a lot of players that are just not used.
Right, right.
Like a lot.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, if only one character can be chosen by one player, then the attack characters are going to get taken pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And who the fuck is going to want to play a healer?
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I don't see a whole lot of Mercy players scrambling for this mode.
Well, funny you say that because they're also doing it. Team deathmatch mode that is going to be players fighting against each other to reach 30 kills. But Mercy, if she revives one of the players, takes away a point from the other team.
Interesting.
It's like dodgeball.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Get that guy out of jail.
Get that guy. Get out of jail free card.
So you basically have to have a Mercy player in that game mode.
And again, we've done this endlessly, but I just have to give more props to Overwatch for just continuing to be just such an amazing game years after its release.
Like the DLC that they come out with is all free.
It's every extra content is free. You just got to buy the game, which at this point is probably like what, 25, 30 bucks?
I think it's still up there, but I mean, it's even at four, like I bought it for 40 and it's infinitely worth it.
Absolutely.
Totally worth it.
I want to talk about legs. That's one long-legged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long-legged bitch right there.
See, I didn't want to say that and be sexist. So.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be careful, man. You got to watch that. They're also doing a new map called Chateau Guillard. I don't know how to pronounce it, but there's a new map coming out.
We took a French
G-U-I-L-L-A-R-D. Yeah. So that's coming out with the deathmatch stuff, which is pretty, pretty cool.
You still have my French book of naughty words.
I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Le merde. Continue.
Crazy. Anyway, so that's Overwatch. That's pretty fun. Before we close out, there is one more article I want to talk about. That is our bonus article for the week about gaming culture and things of that nature. StarCraft II. It's a game that everybody has played in the past and has adored and loved and everything.
We also Zerg have, Rush.
Yeah, the Zerg Rush, exactly.
It is bullshit.
They are using the AI, or they're using StarCraft II for AI research. Artificial intelligence research in real life, like not just in a game, but like using it to research artificial intelligence.
Oh boy.
So there's this company called DeepMind, a researcher in artificial intelligence that is using it, having a partnership with Blizzard Entertainment to use it as a basis for improved AI learning. They've created a set of tools to accelerate AI research specifically in StarCraft II. In addition to a machine learning API to allow researchers and developers access to the game, they've also provided a data set of anonymized game replays currently at 65,000 that will increase to more than a 500,000 in the next few weeks.
So my Skynet sensors are going off.
Yeah,
here.
Seriously, I've got a lot
we're
of
teaching. We're teaching the robots to fucking Zerg Rush now.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
We're teaching them battle tactics.
Yeah,
that's kind of scary.
I don't like what's happening.
Oh man,
I mean, granted, if it does anything, it's like, oh, I can just see it now. The computer's going to go. Florida's useless. Destroy it. And just mini a missile. Just get rid of it.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. And I mean, that's, at the same time. I mean, imagine like in the future, like we reach 2088, which also happens to be the same
have
time
we also
that Tacoma
noticed
comes
with
out.
That? Have we also noticed with that, like all the different AIs stuff that we've seen in the news within like, just the past few months of like, oh, an AI created its own language and an AI had to be shut down because it saw humans as obsolete users.
Yeah, but then there was that AI security robot that drove itself into a body of water and killed
we're gonna
itself,
be fine we're know? Gonna be okay
we're at an even keel
so, we're at an even
so,
keel
so what they also they mention in here is that the way that they train this AI is by learning from the human examples that they provide, so if we don't do it they won't do it.
That's
so
not
we just
gotta
make sure we don't send them off to kill each other to kill us.
We just need to make sure we don't show them the comment section of YouTube.
Oh god.
Yeah, let AI run wild on there and see what happens.
Oh, no.
Just get 4chan right off of their database.
Oh, my God, yes. Remove it. Delete.
Oh, goodness.
See the AI robot looking up at the creator. What is 4chan?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's nothing.
Nothing.
Scary. So that's what's happened with StarCraft, guys. It's pretty awesome.
Nice.
They're using
it
to learn how to Zerg Rush even more. So in the future, in 2088, we will see a message pop up on the screen. Breaking news. AI unleashes Zerg Rush on the world.
I think you know, like with our science fiction movies that we've got going on, I think that there is definitely a bright silver lining for AI in the future, but we need to be careful.
That's true. I mean, my AI robot, like vacuum cleaner that I just bought, is really cool, except it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like it'll run into walls and it'll grab my cord and carry it across the floor. So we got a long ways to go before that becomes a thing.
Brett.
But. yeah, Dinklebot's okay. He works pretty good. I called him Dinklebot because I thought it was funny. So my vacuum cleaner's Dinklebot.
It's either that or Nolandroid, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
that's it for our news, everybody. If we missed something this week or if you have something you want to share on one of the stories from this week, we want to hear from you at hello@theinnergamer.net. We'll be back with our discussion after the break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Welcome, everybody. Our discussion this week is going to be on microtransactions and loot boxes. Who's excited for confetti?
You can hear a collective eye roll from everyone in a 5-mile radius.
Yeah.
Eye roll.
You got that right.
Eye roll. Yes. Yeah, so we want to talk a little bit about microtransactions, loot boxes, all that good stuff, because they're becoming a big part of video games. I released an article last week. Go to theinnergamer.net/read. There is a talk that I have specifically on loot boxes, and I mentioned how, you know, at one point there used to be this idea that you get loot as you progress through the game.
Yeah. Right.
And then you add it. Yeah, you're in that shit. And then we started adding this whole like cosmetic thing. So as you play, you get cosmetics, and it became like, hey, let's be cool now. Like, I want to look cool. And
well, not only that, it was like some of that cosmetic stuff was like a milestone you could reach in a game if you played for so long or did that. And it's like,
yeah,
you can now just buy it. And even with the cosmetic portions of loot or milestones that you reach in a game, now you can just buy them.
It's like the Jenners putting their faces on T-shirts over album art by like Metallica or something. Like, can you imagine if they did that? That'd be so stupid.
I would be infuriated.
That would be
that would be very angry at that.
Absolutely terrible, actually. Yeah, man. So like, let's start with well, let's go on the loot box conversation for a little bit. So we got loot boxes. Yes. Like Overwatch, I feel like, is the most prime example of what a loot box is. So in the game, you know, you progress, you get loot boxes. You can also buy, well, you can buy like money or whatever, so you can buy more loot boxes. Right, essentially,
you can buy credits or whatnot.
Yeah, you can buy credits. Have you guys done that?
I have not.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, I haven't either. That's one game that does it well, and that you know, you never have a big desire to buy a loot box. I mean, I like the skin. I like the way I look. I don't want to work too hard to, or pay more money to make myself look that much cooler. Although it is pretty cool when you have like this badass fresh skin that nobody else has.
Yeah. I mean, these days, the summer games boxes are back. So they've got some new ones with that. Some of them
Look they've always got the themed loot boxes.
Yeah.
Which has been interesting.
It's always nice to see someone like, oh, he's got the Junkrat from their whole Frankenstein DLC sort of thing. I have that.
The Junkenstein skin?
The Junkenstein skin. My friend Aaron, he's always bragging because he has the Genji from the Summer Games loot box where he's just all white and he's got the little Japanese flag on his chest. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I've got this one skin. You can't really get it anymore. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. You know.
Well, and there's something to that point there where, you know, there's people who get, you know, with the loot boxes, and something that Overwatch does very well is, you know, not everybody can get these loot boxes anymore. Like, you can't, like, it's a special item that is limited and it has value. While it may not be gameplay value, it is still an aesthetic value that still makes it worthy of something.
Yeah, you feel a lot cooler than the other guy.
You really do.
And you can't just buy this shit.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Because like I was playing Injustice 2 when that came out. And that has a huge loot box system. And to me, I haven't found anything that... Eventually, like, just the more loot boxes you get, the more stuff you get. But I didn't think about with Overwatch, they have the events where, you know, this is available for a limited time. If you don't get it now, like, sorry, it's gone.
It's definitely incentive to actually play.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. That's
Battlefield 1 also revised their loot box system. It's no longer
battle
at the end of the... Yeah, they're battle chests. It used to be at the end of a match, they would just randomly pick four people out of the entire game and give them a loot pack or a battle pack. But now it's every time you level up.
Right.
Or not exactly level up. It's just its own special little progression bar.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah.
It's better.
It is. So it's interesting that they're... Things are changing a lot with it, but let's look back a little bit on the past of where these things came to be. So,
oh man,
where do you think loot boxes or the microtransactions and loot boxes first became a thing?
I would like to say Team Fortress 2 and hats.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Maybe.
Man.
I don't know if that's going back far enough, but I know there was definitely a market for the hats.
Right.
And that was purely cosmetic.
Right. So my first thought would be something related to like an MMO.
Yes.
Like, see, that's where I was going to go with the MMO portion of it, of something like World of Warcraft.
Mm.
And while it may not have been a formal microtransaction, you could actually pay another player to get you gold or get you some sort of resource of some kind.
Yeah. You could also pay, you know, like go on eBay and buy a level 90 character or something.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Man. Yeah, the marketplace went crazy. And then you have like games like CSGO. I don't know if you guys ever played Counter-Strike Global Offensive, but they have that whole auction system now where you get guns as you're playing the game or whatever that you purchase or something. And then there's like auction sites people have created to sell these guns with real money. I know, which is insane.
I know World of Warcraft does have like a little auction house.
Yeah, they have the auction house thing too.
I don't know if that's what we're talking about.
Devin, did you ever get into World of Warcraft?
Yeah, I failed 2 semesters of college because of it.
I never played it.
I mean, no, I haven't heard of it ever.
Perfect student.
Oh, God, no. No, absolutely not. Yeah, I played a lot, and I actually got... My tenure in WoW was something that was a little odd because I was in it to a point where I was immersed in a fully saturated market on a server. Like, this thing was just constantly... Like, you could go to the auction house, and people were selling... like a stack of mats for like 30 gold. And I'm walking around with like 22 gold going, I don't want to spend real money on this. I really don't.
Yeah.
And I was also able to start on fresh servers where it was like, there was not a whole lot of gold in circulation. There was, the market was still stable and you didn't have to worry about spending real money as opposed to the in-game money. So, unfortunately, at this point, I've been out of the game so long that I can only assume just how absolutely ridiculous it is.
Oh, for sure.
For people to even want to try to get... For a new player to try to step in now, like, that would be so overwhelming. People are just buying good characters. And there's just...
Well, I think World of Warcraft has a... Like, when you buy the game now, I think you have an option to start a character that's, like, level 90 or something.
I think so, yeah.
It's been a while since I checked up on this.
There's a 90 level. That's the crazy
Why
part.
Have the game? I'm sorry. That's just for the raids
and the PvP. And you can jump in and have access to shit tons.
I get it, but I guess I'm just a purist in my own way. I'm like,
earn it.
Earn your way into playing the game.
Didn't Destiny do something like that whenever, after a while, they made it where you could like advance quickly to level 20?
After the third DLC, you got the Spark thing. I can't remember what the official title was, but you could essentially have your character ding right into level 20, in which case from there, or 29, and that's when you could start doing light infusion stuff and advancing levels higher than that. So, Now, granted, I didn't understand that one because... Playing through Destiny's story.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle.
The game plays beautifully, but they just didn't tell the story like they should have.
I can't tell you how many times I played through that introduction scene where you're in the rummage part of Earth and old Russia or whatever. And
fucking
like
Kvostov
comes up and And then you get to that ship at the very end. I played that first thing like 8 times.
Yeah.
And I hated it all 8 times. The reason why I did that is because I played like multiple versions of the beta, and then I played the actual game, then I made a new character. Yep. So to make the character, it was before the 20 thing came out, so I had to advance that one up. So frustrating. So I hope to never see that ever again.
Ever again.
Ever again.
Well, Destiny definitely had microtransactions.
Yeah.
They did.
They had that Eververse, I believe it was called.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you could buy silver.
Yeah.
I may have put some money into that so I could get the Thriller Dance.
Guilty. That's
I forgot about that. They did have the... You could buy the emote thing.
The only thing I ever wanted, which I'll admit I did spend some money on, I spent like $3 to get some silver, and I just wanted to get this condescending clap.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's something Devin would want to do.
It literally fits every situation. You know?
Everything.
It could be. Hey, good job. Really good job. Or it could be.
Someone opens a random chest. Oh, cool! I got a 320 light last word.
You. Fucking. Well, it's nice because now they have in the social spaces where you can like play soccer against each other.
Yeah.
So when somebody wins or whatever, you can just sit there and just be in the back and just be like.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
You did so good.
So, you know, games that want to do a microtransaction, I don't want to say it's a bad idea, but there are very few out there that are doing it right.
Agreed.
I completely agree. So let's talk about the ones that are doing it right, actually, because I think that's important to make note of. So... Who is doing microtransactions correctly?
I'd like to say, in a sense, Rocket League.
That's literally the game I was thinking of. Literally, I was thinking Rocket League.
I kind of don't enjoy, like, Rocket League, for those of you that don't know, has these crates that you unlock, much like you unlock your little hats and your flags and everything. But with these crates, you need to buy the keys to open the crates. So technically, it's not perfect, because in a perfect world, you would also just randomly get keys. And that would be great. But for those of you that are willing to pay for the keys, there's actually a bunch of people online that will be like, oh, you want to trade crates? Like, they'll ask at the beginning of a game, like, crates. And I always say, like, crates for baits, because I just like to fuck with them.
Only you.
I will get banned from that chat, I swear to God. I think it works really well, especially, like, in my group of friends, nobody else really cares to pay for their keys. So they get crates, and they give them all to me. The only issue is that I often get stuff that I either already have, or maybe I'll get a skin for a car that I do not own. Mm. So it's like, oh, the Dominus GT. I don't have that, but I have a super sweet skin for it. Yay.
Man, I haven't touched Rocket League in a long time. I used to play it last night.
I touched it good.
All right.
I'm trying to think of something funny to come back.
Don't try. He got it.
That was good. So yeah, Rocket League is a good example. What else? What else do we have that's good? Either good on the microtransaction level where you pay for stuff, or just loot boxes in general.
If you're going to go that route, then I'd say Diablo 3 is another really good one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially since they've started doing the season thing,
mm-hmm.
where you can actually get into the seasons and get some really, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you just get it just from playing the game, mm-hmm. which I think is great. Because you're not actually spending any kind of, like, you're not spending an obscene amount of your money. It's if you do anything, it's a fair price, and if you play the game, then you'll get the set in general, just because. So I think Diablo 3 does a great job of doing its loot boxes.
Yeah,
there's that new system,
new necromancer.
Oh,
metal,
man.
Ass fuck.
Oh,
it's like, oh, I'm gonna take your bones and turn them into spears to kill your bros, and I'm gonna take your bones and you're gonna fucking explode.
Yeah. I'm gonna just take your bones and just make a skellyman just because I wanna go skellyman.
Go make armor out of your fucking bones.
That
it's
is
so metal.
Amazing.
Lots of bones.
So fun, interesting thing I want to mention is, remember when the mobile game started coming out, I want to make that correlation, because I feel like mobile games they created what we hate about microtransactions.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because they came out, nobody wanted to pay more than $1 for a mobile game. So, hey, let's make it free, get you hooked, and then now you're going to pay us money. Give us your money.
They literally do the drug dealer thing where they're like, so here's this currency that you need in order to upgrade your stuff. You know what? Just because we're friends, the first one's on me, okay? And then you're like, hey, you got some more of them coins? And they're like, yeah,
we got some more.
That'll be 99 cents, son.
And at first you're like, 99 cents?
That's not so bad.
That's not so bad.
Did South Park have an episode of that with Timmy that was like doing? What is he doing? Do you remember?
They were playing the farm.
The Farmville. He was leading you into the. He was working for the Canadians.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was the
one that I really think was just one of the biggest offenders of this was Simpsons Tapped Out.
Oh yeah, and also the new Futurama game.
Yeah,
that is the exact same thing.
Because it was, you had to get donuts if you wanted to like speed something up to.
Produce
or whatever, and it was like you get one donut when you level up past 20, and it takes so long to do that, but man,
yeah,
you could get like, oh, here's a truckload of donuts for $49.99.
Sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds great to me.
That stuff makes me so frustrated, because I mean, I get the mechanic behind it, and I get that people get addicted to it. But for me, I feel like if you just take a little less money and then make it to where there's enough interest there to make people pay every so often, but not so much that they're going to go broke and have to pay all the time. Like, I hate when it's like, oh, you get 5 minutes into the game and then all of a sudden, oh, this will take you 10 hours or you can pay me a $2 right now and it'll come instantly. And it's so enticing to want to do that. And I hate that. Like, for example, Titanfall Assault just came out. It's a mobile game that Titanfall worked on with Nexon. And it, at the beginning, is like, man, this game is so cool. Like, I love the dropping these characters in, and you have your Titan, and you have your pilots you drop in, and you use them to, it's kind of like Clash of Clans. You drop people in, and they attack your objectives, essentially. But then they're like, oh, here's a free chest. And then you play a little bit more, and like, here's another free chest. And then you play a little bit more, and they're like, this one will unlock in 10 hours. Or 10 hours. Click this button. Little shiny button here, and you can buy things. You can buy some
coins, and it'll be instantly built.
Ah, drives me nuts.
Gimme. I think that was a huge offender, like when mobile games were really trying to become a prominent thing in the market. And I would like to say that the consumer base has taught them a lesson because we've stopped doing it. Like, people have just stopped buying. Well, the majority of them, I would assume, have stopped buying those kinds of instant gratification currencies.
Yeah, it's weird because they just come out in different versions. Like, they they come out in different waves. Like, my mom's an offender of that, actually. She plays all, she doesn't play games, but she plays mobile games that require you to pay money to unlock more stuff. Mm-hmm. Somehow she can get hours into it and not pay a whole lot, but she still pays for it. I'm like, Mom, don't do that. You're giving in to the temptation.
Don't do it.
You're giving in.
But
stop
it's so
giving
easy.
In. It so is easy. So easy. It's so easy. Yeah, so I feel like that's had an influence on our games that we play now, these $60 titles that we play. And Shadow of War is the new game coming out this year. And everybody's probably excited about it. They're looking forward to it. You got this whole war thing you can do, which is really awesome. But they've introduced this a loot system of some kind where they do have legit microtransactions that allow you to advance further in the game without playing it. And people are like up in arms about this because of that reason. Like, it's literally paid advancement in the game.
Now, is this single player or multiplayer?
This is just single player.
It's a
But it's like, why are you playing the game if you have to do that? You know?
Yeah, yeah. In Shadow of Mordor, you would spend time dominating orcs and Uruk captains to do your bidding, and now it's like, well, you can dominate 5 Uruks for $2.99.
Stupid and filthy microtransactions. So
I hate it.
Yeah, so the loot chests have they have different types of gear, weapons, and armor, and then they as you get them, they help level up your playable character faster. So you can get these loot boxes, and if you want to advance, like, say you're fighting, you're in the Nemesis system, you have a guy that's like, you know, level 12, and you're like, man, this guy is really hard. Well, rather than playing faster, you can just click buy, get some new armor, and then attach that, and then all of a sudden that guy is easy to kill. So
that
rather
sucks.
Than changing difficulty or whatever, like, that's kind of where it sounds like they're going with the system.
See, what I'm definitely okay with is getting pre-order bonuses. Like, you pre-order the game and you get a special helmet that increases the amount of XP you get. Like, that's pretty standard, and I don't think anybody has any problem with that. Like,
you get a sidearm that levels with you as you progress, like, in the game.
That's
kind of
fucking sweet.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, I don't really like this boss. I'm going to buy him. Next.
Yeah.
I'm such a difficulty game junkie that, like, the Dark Souls lover in me is just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Now, in Dark Souls, if I could buy my way through each boss and just be like, hey, I beat everybody, I'd be so happy. That'd make my day.
I'd beat you with this mic.
But you wouldn't get trophies or whatnot. Would you still be okay with that?
No, it would come with the price of purchase.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
So I can be like, hey, what do they call it when you platinum a game? I platinum my way through this game by paying an extra
$60. Fuck off.
I bought all the trophies.
Yeah. That just sounds bad.
Well, and that just, like, I marvel at that because I'm like, why spend money on the game, which the purpose of the game is for you to engage and play the game.
Play it. Yeah. I think some people maybe see accomplishment as being more important than enjoyment of the game.
I see this as a placation to instant gratification.
Yes. Yes.
And that is sad.
It pissed me off whenever Halo 5 came out. Did you guys play Halo 5?
No. I did not mess with that
garbage. What is a Halo?
Well, Halo 5 was the last game that was semi-good on Xbox. Well, I guess Gears of War 4 was supposed to be good, but
semi-good?
I never played it. Yeah. So they had these things called requisition packs. And
oh, shit. Oh, you just... Oh, I'm getting flashbacks. Oh, fuck.
Whenever those first were introduced... Like, Halo, I remember, as a very serious, like, intense series. And all of a sudden, I get a requisition pack, and I click open, and all of a sudden, streamers and confetti pop up. I'm like, what the hell, Halo? What are you doing to me? This is not the Halo universe.
At all.
I'm not playing Fortnite where there's like llamas and shit.
Yeah. No, don't, by the way.
Yeah. It's crazy. Crazy.
But yeah, the fucking rec packs, like, especially you get like this huge badass mantis. You'd be like, yeah, this is a card that I've been saving up for this very moment. And someone comes by and fucking destroys it. And you're just like, I can go buy some more. Hold up. I'll be right back. You know.
You know what else? You know what else I find like silly about something like that is, like, you know, when you put these microtransactions in a game and like you want to get skins and gun skins, this is just a small gripe, and this may be off base, but like I don't like it when I see skin packs for weapons or people that make them look ridiculous. Like, ooh, here's a red cheetah skin for your shotgun.
Yeah.
If I'm playing somebody and they kill me with a red cheetah shotgun in a game, I feel like I'm less of a human.
You just got teabagged by that.
Actually, I'm kind of hoping they do that with Battlegrounds. I think they are going that direction a little bit, and I think that'd be awesome. Like, run around in a freaking chicken suit and just like...
No, you are the literal...
Like chicken suits. You like chicken suits. Get me there. Although I haven't played that game, I do like chicken suits.
Oh, you just wait till it comes out on Xbox. You're gonna be playing the shit out of that game.
Yeah, I will.
So good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know what you're talking about. It's bad, but there is some humor sometimes to it. If it's loot boxes for humor, I'm all for that. Let's just make it happen. Why not?
Yeah, sure. As long as I don't have to fucking pay for it.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Amen, you know, Rocket League kind of does that a little bit. They put a bunch of silly stuff on their skins for their cars.
Yeah,
you know,
they
like
also do
little like wobbly things that are funky characters. And
you
stuff.
actually just like triggered a memory of a very effective loot box system was Borderlands 2.
Oh yeah,
with the gold key system.
Ooh, yes,
that's true.
Like you could go online and you could find like a code that would be released for like 2 days, and it would give you like 4 keys or 5 keys or whatever.
50.
I never found that code.
I guarantee you, I still have some Borderlands characters that have like 90+ keys.
Oh my god!
I could just go back and be like, "Wee."
I feel like I had that same issue too. I had some kind of glitch that happened or something when I started Borderlands 2 with Austin. Me and him were playing together, and I think I had like 20 or 30 keys that I were just like popping them open like late level in the game and just getting these badass weapons and stuff. I was like, "Oh my gosh, you should see this thing! It's so cool!" And that game never surprised me, or no, it never stopped surprising me with the types of weapons that I would get.
Loved it.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah.
So, like, I have this pistol and it kind of sucks, but it's got infinite fucking ammo. I am so excited.
Or this shotgun that sprays out rockets that splatter acid that then splatter electricity.
What? What if that card game that we're getting from Gearbox is actually a Borderlands card game?
I still won't. If they don't start working on Borderlands 3.
Twat. Calm down.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, so that's... Oh man, that's good stuff. So we've talked a lot about the good and the bad of microtransactions and loot boxes and all that stuff. Is there anything that any ideal situation that you guys see that makes, let's put it this way, how do you guys feel about the loot boxes and microtransactions overall? Like, If you never saw them ever again, would you be content with that? Or do you feel like they have a good enough place in the game sphere that they should exist?
I think
some form or fashion.
I think they should exist because it's always nice to be able to customize things, and it's always nice to have more stuff than your friends. But also, it does help keep the gaming industry alive because idiots are pumping money into the industry, which in turn either goes into CEOs' bonuses or, you know, more games. I'm hoping for the latter.
Interesting. I never thought of it that way, actually.
But I mean, it's definitely 100% just a money-making machine. Like, they're like, oh, these fucking rubes, they'll pay money for a chicken suit.
It is a pure profit industry, yeah. Which is where, yeah, I have to actually, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's evil to it, but at the same time,
I don't want them in my game. Loot boxes of some kind, like a loot system, I'm fine with. Keep it all in-game currency or in-game time played kind of thing. But if I'm having to shell out more of my money for a game I've already purchased and I've already put a good amount of time into, for anybody to be able just to come in behind me, buy the game real quick, cheaper, and then spend an extra $30 to make themselves just as good, if not better than me, I'm out.
Yeah, that sucks. It really sucks.
And so that's why I think they just need, it needs to be, just leave it out. Don't do microtransactions and don't do a paid loot box system. I don't want it in my game.
Yeah, I think if it's a free game, there's a place for it, obviously, because it's a free game, so they need to make money somewhere. If it's a paid game though, and you put money down on that, I feel like you said, it should be the time you put into it. And part of the reason why they put it in there, I think, is so that people who don't have the time can feel like they can get up there to that level or whatever. But I still don't think it's fair to those players that put all that time into it and invested all that time. So for me, it doesn't make sense. Like, I think Overwatch does it well. I mean, I think what they do, like, I haven't had to buy anything and I'm content with that. That's been good. Battlegrounds thus far, I'm content with the way that works. You play a couple games, you unlock some loot crates, you're good to go. Like, so far that's been fine. But it sounds like Fortnite, you want to buy some things potentially. Yeah. And
I think probably the worst that I know of is GTA 5 online.
Oh,
because this new gun running thing is like, you have to buy a bunker in order to be able to do the gun running DLC, for which you need to be a VIP of a corporation or a CEO. No, not a CEO, the club president of a motorcycle club.
Okay.
So motorcycle club minimum, you have to buy the location. That's $250,000 minimum to buy the location. Then you can be a president. The bunker will be about minimum $1.25 million. For a VIP, that will be minimum $1 million. So if you want to go the VIP and bunker route, that's about $2.25 million. And that's for the cheapest places. And the better bunkers are available at like $3 million. And it's, you know how long it takes to earn $3 million in GTA 5 online?
I robbed a grandma for 20.
What?
20 bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to buy these shark cards.
Yeah,
and just get like you can get one for, I think, $99 is, I think, $8.5 million, and so that'll get you good and running in the gun running thing. But then there's also customization of your vehicles, and like it gets so if you want to be a big boss in this game, that's gonna cost you probably $15 to $17 million. So we're talking almost $200 here, and it's just a classic case of the rich get richer, you know? Like, if you have the money, then you have everything in the fucking game. But if you don't have the money, then you're going to have to do these tiny little side missions or play multiplayer matches, which, don't get me wrong, it's fun. I have a good time with the multiplayer matches, but it would be a huge grind. On top of which, there's also daily upkeep of your bunker and your VIP location, which is like $8,000 a day. And, you know, so that's also coming out of your cut. You know, it's just so much just everything money. Is like, why not just pay fucking money for this game, right?
So, lesson learned.
I'm sorry.
Find a side hustle so you can afford all these microtransactions.
Yeah.
And you're good. You're good.
So. Daddy needs a sugar mama.
Well, that's going to wrap up our discussion, I think. If you guys have any comments on the loot box system or the microtransaction system, please let us know. You can let us know in the comments below right here. Listening, you can also email us at hello@thenergamer.net. That wraps up our discussion. If there's a topic you want to hear us talk about, let us know at hello@thenergamer.net, and we'll probably talk about it sometime. So that's going to wrap up everything. Thank you guys
for listening.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
right, everybody. Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases August 22nd. Have you guys played The Escapist 1?
I did not play The Escapist.
I don't think I have, no.
So The Escapist 1 was a game where you escape from a prison. It was a single-player experience. It got really good reviews. And they're making Escapist 2. And it comes out on the 22nd. It's for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. You craft, steal, brawl, and escape. It's time to bust out of the toughest prisons in the world as you return to the life of an inmate in Escapist 2. But now it's multiplayer.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry, I couldn't do it.
It's all right, man. It's all right.
Oh, that was awesome, actually.
But the other big news for the 22nd.
Oh, man. So on PS4, we have the continuation of Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. You play as Chloe Frazier, and you recover, or you're on your mission to recover an ancient artifact and keep it out of the hands of the ruthless warmonger. So you enlist the aid of renowned mercenary from Uncharted 4, Nadine Ross, and venture to India's Western Ghats to locate the golden tusk of Ganesh. In the greatest journey yet, she must confront her past and decide what she's willing to sacrifice to forge her own legacy. For those that don't know where this falls in the timeline, this does take place after the events of Uncharted 4, where Mr. Nathan Drake has, well, if you play Uncharted 4,
Just play Uncharted 4. It's after the events of Uncharted 4.
So, guys, what are you going to play next week? Are you going to play any of those games? Are you going to try any of those? You got any other games that you're like really pumped to play?
Oh, you know, I just picked up Splatoon 2, so I'll be playing that. But also, I think on the 15th, Sonic Mania is coming out.
Oh, yes, it is.
Got that pre-ordered.
Did you get it for the Switch?
No.
Oh.
I got it for the Xbox.
That's cool.
Because that's what's up.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Xbox is all right.
Man, whatever.
I like it.
Get out of here with that action.
I like it.
It's pretty cool. Cool. Devin, what are you going to play?
I have actually seen a couple of titles on Good Old Games that I want to try out. I'm going to hold off because I don't know which one I'm going to officially play yet. I'm going to see where the wind takes me, but I've got like 3 or 4 games I might be playing.
Which ones are they? Do you want me to help you to make a decision right now?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
I don't like your taste in games. That was harsh. I apologize, Brett.
I'm going to give you the finger.
Yeah.
Oh, right in the face.
Oh, no.
If only we're on video right now, you can see it.
Tension's rising.
It's happened. I deserve this.
Oh, my god.
What about you? What are you playing?
I am going to play. I actually started playing Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. I've made a little bit through that. That's an old title and stuff. Yeah. But I'm probably going to pick up Hellblade, The Newest Sacrifice. I really want to play that. So I'm going to check that out and then probably play Call of Duty and then call it a day.
Nice.
And then Battlegrounds. So I haven't played Battlegrounds in a while.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been like a week.
It's been a while.
So anyway, that's going to wrap up our show. Again, make sure you guys check out our website. Go to theinnergamer.net or actually go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theinnergamerpodcast, I believe, and look at our event on August 18th. We will be at Community Brewery, drinking beer, playing video games.
Potty City and the Potty.
We'll have a lot of good stuff there, so make sure you come out if you're in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. It will be awesome. And then be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. TheInnerGamer.net will have all your latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or tell a friend.
We also have a Patreon, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear. Plus, if you do support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast,
bam,
getting exclusive content,
bam,
or even joining us for a D&D session. So head over to TheInnerGamer.net and click donate to contribute. And with that, my name is Devin DeRee.
I'm Charlie Smith.
And I'm Brett Janoski.
And you've been listening to
The Innergamer.
I have no idea why I decided to do.
We didn't synchronize that or think we did. That just kind of happened.
I was doing like a WWE announcer with
The Innergamer.
I don't even
and
know.
And on this ring, we have
The Innergamer.
Okay. That's hurting my
you
voice.
You can't macho man, Charlie Smith.
It's happening. We'll be right back. for so long.
I'm out of love. So lost at you. That was
awful.
So good.
That was terrible.
So good.
Break, Marty. All
right. I can't do the sound.
So you can't do a Rick at all.
I can't do shit.
And then on the right, we
shut up. The joke's over.
Dark Souls fanatic Devin Duree.
Oh boy.
The Duree more than that. Nader.
That is not my nickname. The fuck is that? Wow.
The Dureeinator.
The Dureeinator.
It's like Doritos, but it's a nader at the end.
No.
And in the next corner, we've got the Dureeinator.
No, don't make this a thing. Don't make this a thing.